This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The trial of former UC police officer Ray Tenzing for the shooting death of Sam DeBose during a 2015 traffic stop ended on Saturday when the jury said it was unable to reach a verdict in the case, and the judge declared a mistrial. So what is next in this case? Joining us right now, WVXU reporters Tana Weingartner and Bill Reinhardt. And good to see both of you this afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Happy to be back.
So this ends with a mistrial on Saturday. I guess the thing that was the jury couldn't decide was whether it was murder or manslaughter since they had the two charges. Is that correct?
That's our understanding at this point in time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it wasn't a matter of whether it was self-defense or not, Bill. I mean, they just didn't buy the self-defense argument because they would have convicted him of one or the other of the two homicide charges.
That is correct. From what I understand, there were four jurors who were voting for murder and eight who said manslaughter. So
voluntary manslaughter. We should be clear here.
Yeah, voluntary.
Voluntary manslaughter.
Tana, I know you're not a lawyer, but what does voluntary manslaughter mean in this case? It's something that happens in
a fit of passion or some sort of fit of rage is kind of the definition that we were looking at. It's a much longer definition that I don't unfortunately have in front of me.
Yeah. And I think then we had protests after the lack of a verdict on Saturday. Black Lives Matter held a protest.
Saying that it's the Countdown to Conviction Coalition, which is made up of Black Lives Matter and the Amos Project and a bunch of other groups around town with an interest in this particular issue.
They're saying this should be a clear-cut case of murder is what they're contending, right?
That's what many people are saying, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the protest, describe those to us. What was that like? Both of you were covering that.
Well, shortly after the mistrial was declared, well, there were already people outside the courthouse waiting to hear. A number of people had gathered. They heard the decision that there was no decision, and the crowd just swelled from there. Over the next hour or two, it grew from maybe 50 to a few hundred, and the coalition had set up a PA system, and they started delivering speeches and saying, We want a retrial. We want it as soon as possible. We want a murder conviction. We will settle for nothing less. And about 1 o'clock or so, I think it was, they started marching and coalesced with another protest march, which was coincidentally happening at the same time. So their numbers swelled, and they marched all around downtown. Interesting to note that in previous marches over Ray Tenzing and other incidents across the country, the Black Lives Matter sponsored marches, Cincinnati police have kept a pretty low profile until this time, and police were very visible. There were a number of bike cops that were riding alongside the march procession and prevented marchers from going west on 5th Street from Vine toward the interstate. They also prevented them from going west on 9th Street at Central Avenue to block the interstate. If that was the protesters' intention, police weren't not going to let that happen.
Tana, how big a protest was this? How many demonstrators were involved in this?
The general number ranges at about 1,000, and we should say maybe 150, 200 of those coming from the courthouse. Then I would say, based on what I saw, the majority of it being the anti-Trump protests that were going on in that was a planned merger, we understand, that they had planned to
meet there. So it just wasn't coincidence that they converged
at that point. No, the leadership in both of those overlaps a bit.
Now, who is going to decide whether the case of Ray Tenzing and for the death of Sam DeBose gets retried? Whose hands is that?
Well, it's in Prosecutor Joe Dieter's hands whether he would want to retry, and it's also in his hands in terms of what charges he would file. He could either go for the same charges, he could go for lesser charges, he could change charges, he could decide not to refile at all.
So is he? What is he going to be looking at? The odds that the second case would be successful?
Well, you know, he'll want to talk to the jurors if they haven't already, you know, kind of poll them and see what they were thinking. Both attorneys will want to know that information. What did they say that, you know, didn't resonate with them? What should they maybe think about doing if it were to go forward?
Mm-hmm. Have we heard from the attorney for Ray Tenzing or from Ray Tenzing himself about this?
No, Stu Matthews, once the mistrial was declared, he was not available to speak with the press. Hamilton County Prosecutor Joe Dieters did come out and give us a statement saying he would be reviewing the case. He'd be looking to see, as Tana said, what resonated with the jurors, what didn't work, so he can make a decision. He says he hopes to have a decision made by November 28th. That's a week from this Monday.
How likely is that? I mean, is he giving any indication of whether he's leaning one way or the other?
He's keeping his cards pretty close to his chest at this point. Now, he also does have some political pressure on him at this point. There is a coalition of religious leaders from around the area. They met in front of Dieter's office yesterday afternoon and said, we want a retrial. The family wants a retrial. They want the retrial on the same charges. We are going to support the family in those wishes. We want a decision by this coming Monday. We don't want to wait until November 28th. We want a decision sooner.
Are there likely to be more protests in the meantime? Are we going to see more demonstrations?
Well, they've promised to do that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this coalition yesterday said, if necessary, we will have people outside the prosecutor's office every day until we get a decision. I believe Black Lives Matter has said they will continue to protest. They will continue to demonstrate as necessary as well.
Now, city officials, the day the decision came down that the jury was hung, city officials, Mayor John Cranley came out, and he was somebody who supports the idea of this needs to be retried. I think he looks at it as that Sam DeBoe should not have been shot, should not have been killed in the incident that occurred back in July 2015. So is Dieter's, besides Cranley, besides these ministers groups, is there anybody else?
Well, I mean, he doesn't answer to any of those people. He's the Hamilton County prosecutor.
Not directly.
Yeah, not directly. But he is going to get all kinds of...
He's going to get a lot of political pressure from them, of course, but...
He did just get reelected, so. he's got 4 years to worry about it. But as, you know, an elected leader, you are held accountable to the people in your area. And these are people who are saying we want a retrial. I've not heard anyone say otherwise.
Yeah. Has anyone said that all these protests could play a part in a change of venue if this is retried?
I've not heard that. I mean, it's always a possibility, but it should be pointed out that I don't believe any case in any murder case in Hamilton County has been relocated.
So give me the schedule for this now. Dieters is saying that he's going to make a decision by...
The next court hearing for Raymond Hensing is on the 28th, and that is when Joe Dieters has said he would make his decision by.
And, of course, the ministers groups and the other coalition, members of the coalition, are saying, no, we want this to happen sooner.
They want it on this coming Monday, the 21st.
Give me your impressions again from the protest that occurred on Saturday, Bill. I mean, what were your thoughts as you were watching this?
There were a lot of angry people, mainly with the coalition outside the courthouse. Once they merged with the anti-Trump protesters, some of that anger seemed to be a little watered down because there were more issues. There wasn't so much anger, just this one. There was a lot of anger spread out across an entire spectrum of issues. There were a number of groups, you know, all heading down a Walnut. They stopped at a number of locations where there had been officer-involved shootings. For instance, near Government Square, where the summer young man was shot and killed after coming at an officer with a knife. They stopped for a moment there and recognized that. There was another stop in over the Rhine near where Timothy Thomas was killed in 2001, the event that helped spark the riots of that year.
Tana, what are your thoughts? What were your impressions from this? Did you sense the same thing that Bill did?
In what way?
In terms of the frustrations and the anger that people were feeling.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that it's sort of twofold. You have two types of arguments that are kind of coming out. One, there's this call for people to get up and say something, to take a stand, but to keep it peaceful. And then there was definitely the side that was saying, you know, was calling for, they kept saying, like, a militant action. My understanding of that is not, you know, like, mayhem and destruction and things being flipped over and set on fire, but people causing a civil disturbance, you know, being in the streets, blocking traffic, those kinds of things, and saying, you know, you're not going to get any type of change if you don't really push for it in that manner.
Where's Ray Tensing at this point? Is he in an undisclosed location?
I presume he's at home. We don't really know. He's wherever he's been the whole time. He's still out on that
They have not disclosed his
million
location
dollar bond.
To us. Yes, he is free on bond.
Tana, and you covered the trial. Were you surprised by this outcome?
Not necessarily. I think a lot of people were expecting it. There was a lot of concern, not concern, but maybe questions about the charges that were picked, the murder and the manslaughter, voluntary manslaughter charge, and whether those were the right charges if the prosecution made their argument. And then, of course, there was this whole shift because it was an affirmative defense that he had, that Tensing had to present.
Which means that he has to prove it, and it's not the burden's on him.
Right,
to prove
so the, it. At that point, the burden went onto him, a preponderance of the evidence, which means his level of proof is not as high as reasonable doubt. It's just a step below that, but the burden was on him to prove that he feared for his life, and that is why he shot.
Now, what about the request for release of juror forms? Are the jurors going to be able to stay anonymous in this case? I think the Inquirer was asking for information.
Well,
on
I mean,
the jury
look, and these juror questionnaires are public documents, especially once the case is over. So I would expect that those documents would become known. Now, if my understanding from talking with our colleague Howard Wilkinson has always been in the past, we have not at WVXU requested those documents. But my understanding from talking with Howard Wilkinson about the Inquirer in the past is they request those documents. They have that public information. They contact them, the jurors. If they don't want to speak, they respect their anonymity and they don't, publish it. That's, of course, who can speak to what might come of that information?
Absolutely. In this day and age, you know, you could be a juror and have someone knocking at your door with a TV camera going live saying, hey, why won't you talk to us? So people understandably have some concerns that their anonymity will be compromised. And that plays over into future juries. I mean, there is an argument that can be made that you can contaminate the entire jury pool. No one will want to serve. No one will serve, thinking that something could happen to them down the line.
Well, it brings me back to the question, is his attorney likely to ask for a change of venue when this all comes back, if it does?
Well, he asked for it once. He might ask for
it
again.
He might ask for it again.
There's no understanding of anonymity among jurors, just so we're kind of clear on that. A trial is a public event, and anybody could have sat in that courtroom and seen who the jurors were.
Well, Bill and Tana, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Much appreciated.
You're welcome.
WVXU reporters Tana Weingartner and Bill Reinhardt.